Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 27. I'd like to look at verse 17 tonight. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. The Holy Spirit moved upon Solomon to pen a natural truth that illustrates a spiritual truth. A spiritual truth that is absolutely vital to the salvation and eternal good of God's people. Now here's the natural truth. Iron sharpeneth iron. When it comes to having a knife or sword that's dull, the scripture bears out that can only be truly sharpened by that which is of the same substance. It can only be made at word. Sharpen means to be alert or keen, fixed, what it should be. And likewise, spiritually speaking, it requires a man. Here's what it says. It says, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. A man alerts or makes keen the countenance or the face or the person. It says the countenance. You know, a man's countenance. That's his person. That's his being. Oh, the mercy and wisdom of God to reveal the need and the profit of not only fellowship and companionship between friends, but when the Lord is pleased to reveal divinely the spiritual need of a sinner. There's no doubt about it. I was reading some of the commentaries on this particular passage, but most of them, they were dealing with the need that we all have for friends. We all need friends to lighten the burden, to be an aid in the midst of the calamities of this life, that's completely understandable. I get it. We need friends. We need each other. Friends. But oh, the blessing and the grace of God to send us the friend. The friend of sinners into this world to rescue a people of His choosing from the darkness and the bondage of sin. Now, I've got 3 points concerning the sharpening the countenance of a man, the person of a man. I've got some different words that I found, but here's the first point concerning the countenance of a man. All men created of God, whenever God made Adam and Eve, all men, there was one. All men were created of God, and they were created with a countenance which was upright before his Creator. Now concerning a man's countenance toward the Lord, we understand that in creation, His countenance, his face, When I talk about the face, his being, his attitude, his demeanor, his respectful behavior was in the beginning when God said man was created upright. When man was created by God, he was created straight, upright. What it means? Correct, pleasant, fitting, and proper toward God. That's how man was created. That's his countenance. The Lord made all things. He made heaven and earth. He made the animals. But when he created man, man was created upright. Ecclesiastes 7:29. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright. And the Lord created man in the most honorable and blessed way that any creature was ever created. Here was man. Genesis 1:26. Now listen how what Scripture says about man's creation. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air, and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. This is how man was created. This was man's countenance. He was created straight. He walked with God. Talked with God. Fellowship with God. And the Lord blessed man. Man was blessed to be God's servant and steward. Turn to Genesis 2, verse 8. Genesis 2, verse 8. Man was blessed of God to be God's servant and steward of the creation. Now listen to this. Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 to 15. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Formed out of the ground, made the Lord to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight, good for food, tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and tree of knowledge, good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is, it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there's gold, and the gold of that land is good. There was Debelium and the onyx stone, and the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, which is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. God made man. Made him upright, put him in the garden, and made him a steward of the garden. Man was to keep the garden. Now man was created with a countenance, a steward toward God of work. He worked. He worked. Not in order to be upright, but he was already upright. And that was his countenance. It was a divine ordination of God's glory and man's good that man would be a steward. He worked. Some say that work was the result of the fall. No. Work wasn't a result of the fall. Man, being created in the image of God, was placed in the garden to till, to watch over, to tend the garden before man ever fell. But man was created with that stewardship of work, his countenance, to serve the Lord, to do exactly what God had created him to do, to fellowship with God and to tend the work. And before the fall, he did work. He kept the garden. But before the fall, it was without the pain and the fatigue of the sweat of his brow. And God, who was said to work in creation and created man in his image, God worked. That's what it says. Here's what Genesis 2:2, and the Lord ended his work on the seventh day. So there was a stewardship in man. So it was the calling, the countenance of the upright man, created in the image of God, to serve the Lord according to God's word and God's will and God's purpose. That was man's countenance. Well, Scripture says, now secondly, here's my second point. But sin marred the countenance, and therefore the alertness, the keenness of man, of his attitude, his obedience, and his stewardship toward God. Now, by one act of disobedience, man's love and his respect and his uprightness toward God is fallen. Man died spiritually in the garden. In the garden, back in Genesis chapter 2, in the garden, the Lord wisely placed upon man one restriction. This was the restriction. Genesis 2:16-17. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Satan, the scripture says, who was more subtle than any beast of the field, beguiled, fooled Eve concerning the fruit that God had forbidden. Eve listened to the lie of Satan. The scripture says that she saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired, what make one wise, and she took of the fruit and did eat. And the scripture says, and she gave unto her husband, and he did eat. And immediately the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Their countenance fell. Their countenance was marred. Immediately man lost in himself, because now he has died spiritually. He's lost in himself. He has no desire, no ability, no desire to fellowship with God. He hid himself. He didn't now desire anything of God. He couldn't hear God. Turn to Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, verse 10, 15. This is a passage we often consider when we're looking in the Proverbs, which we're looking now. Matthew 13, verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. This is what happened to Adam. Adam saw, but he didn't see. Hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and not perceive, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears of dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. What happened in the garden? Man could see. He could see, but he couldn't see. He could hear, but he couldn't hear. He couldn't understand. What's the problem with the world today? World. They see, but they don't see. Here, people that know not the God of this Bible, they don't see. I've said before, when the Lord was pleased to reveal Christ to me, I remember saying when I was living in a trailer there in Louisiana, I said, God's sovereignty is everywhere. It's everywhere. It's all in His book. It's everywhere. The glory of God is everywhere. And it's given unto you. But what happened to the garden? Man was created upright. His countenance was straight and right and keen toward God. But by one man's disobedience, man fell. Many were made sinners. He fell. And now man is born spiritually dead. His countenance toward God is dead. His countenance toward men, he sees himself as something, but he's nothing. He's separated from God in his countenance, his affections, his judgment, his disposition, his spirit toward God is dead. Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Listen to Psalm 10:4. Psalm 10:4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in his thoughts. That's the countenance of a fallen man. That's the countenance of an unregenerate. The pride of his countenance, of his person, his being, he won't seek God. He don't seek God. The Lord's not in his thoughts. And here's my third point, final point. But there is a people in this world who have ever been loved of Almighty God. And they are God's friends. Now in their mind, born in Adam, they're fallen creatures. They're wrathful toward God. But God's attitude toward them is this. Jeremiah 31:3. I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've always loved you. I lay down my life for who? Sheep. You're my friends. You're my friends. God has a people born into the mass of humanity that all fell in Adam's transgression. There's some friends of God according to his good pleasure, and their countenance, because of God's eternal will and purpose to show mercy and compassion to whomsoever will, their countenance God shall sharpen. God's going to make them alert and keen unto him. Though fallen in Adam's transgression by their own willful, sinful self, rebellion, the remnant of God's choosing are not going to be left to perish in their sins. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Thou hast given him, it's John 17:2, power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. So their countenance, their face, their attitude, that respectful demeanor is going to have to be sharpened by one who is accepted of Almighty God on his own merit, by the Lord Jesus Christ, he who is the divine friend of sinners. But listen to this. Before the sheep's, and the Lord's sheep are always his sheep. Other sheep I have, they're not of this fold. Them I must bring. They don't become sheep in regeneration. They're always sheep. They've always been his sheep. They were given to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're his sheep. Now they may be unregenerate sheep at one time, which they all are, but they're all his sheep. And he's going to have them. But now, these sheep, before their countenance can be sharpened, the Lord's going to have to do something for them. He's going to have to do something for them. He was made flesh for the sheep. He came into this world, made of a woman, made under the law. He lived under the law, obeyed the law of God for them. Why? Because their countenance was fallen in the fall. They disobeyed God. Well, he's going to do something for them. As their friend, accepted of God, he go come into this world, which he did. And he lived before the law of God in absolute obedience and earned the righteousness in which they shall be robed. Because they fell in Adam's transgression, the wages of sin is death. What's he going to have to do for his friends? He's going to have to bear all of their guilt, bear it in his own body, make their sin his own. And he's going to go to the cross, and he's going to willingly lay down his life before God as their representative, as their substitute. He was made them, and God judged him and put away their sin as far as the east is from the west, carried into the wilderness, behind the back of God. Gone. That's what he's going to have to do for them first. Now, having done all that, here's what he's going to have to do to sharpen their countenance. Turn with me to Ezekiel 36. To sharpen their countenance. What he's going to have to do first? They were created upright in Adam's loins, but their countenance fell before God. They died before God. But the countenance of a man going to be sharpened by his friend. Here's the countenance of God's people going to be sharpened, made keen, made alert by their friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. First thing he's going to have to do to sharpen their countenance. Well, he's going to have to fetch them. He's going to have to get them. Fetch them. Fetching power. Ezekiel 36:24. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Now here's what God's going to have to do. To sharpen the countenance of his people, of his friends. He's going to have to fetch them. He knows where they are. And he comes to them in mercy. Here's the next thing he's going to have to do. He's going to have to give them a new countenance. He's not going to reform the old countenance. That which is flesh is flesh. It's always going to be flesh. In regeneration, the old man is not cleaned up. The Spirit of God reveals that he's going to do something for them. He's going to make a new countenance. He's going to make a new man. He's going to give them a new mind. Ezekiel 36:25-26. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you. and you shall be clean from all your filthiness. They're washed in his blood. From all your filthiness, from all your idols will I cleanse you. And a new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I'll give you a heart of flesh. He's going to make a new man. He's going to make a new man created in righteousness and true holiness. The old man, again, is not reformed. He's not reformed. A new birth from heaven is what it takes. John 3:3, Jesus speaking to Nicodemus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And now, having gathered his own and having created a new man in Christ, now he sharpeneth, continually sharpening, sharpeneth, continually sharpening their countenance. He's sharpening the countenance, the person, the beings of his affection, his friends. Philippians 2:13 says, For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He lovingly sharpens our countenance, our persons. Here we are this evening, believers, everyone that knows him. We're believers who are sinners, saved by the grace of God. That's what we are. We're sinners. Nothing but sinners, saved by God's grace. And the Lord sharpens his the countenance, the persons of his friends. That's what's happening right now. Here's what's happening right now. We're sitting here and we're listening as the Spirit of God opens the Scriptures to us. And we see in that little one verse right there. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. He sharpens what he makes, creates life. That old flesh of stone doesn't rule anymore. I put a new man there, put a new mind, new spirit in you. And here we are, and we're listening to the Scriptures, and the Lord is honing us. As iron sharpeneth iron, it takes God to sharpen the countenance of his friends. And here we hear the gospel preach, and he sharpens our countenance through intimate fellowship with him in prayer. And when you pray, go to your closet and pray to your Father in secret. The Father who heareth in secret, he hears. He shall reward you openly. And he blesses and sharpens his people. Truly. Oh, I said at the beginning, we all need friends. I tell you what I need. I need brethren. I got a lot of acquaintances in this world. I got a lot of acquaintances. You do too. We've got a lot of acquaintances. We know. And we do. We do love them. But this is family right here. This is family. We meet together, and I think about that passage of scripture there in Malachi, right there toward the end. I think about those that spoke together. Malachi 3:60, they that feared the Lord, those that respected and had reverence for Jehovah, spake often one to another. You know, isn't it wonderful when we can fellowship in the Lord together? That's what we're talking about. The Lord told that demoniac, you go back home and you tell You tell your family, you tell your friends what great things the Lord's done for you. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened, and he heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, I'm going to spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. So the Lord, he sharpens, hones, makes keen and alert. As you hear the gospel being preached, the Spirit of God teaches. As we seek the Lord in prayer, and as we fellowship together, that the Lord is graciously sharpening our countenance through these things. But I'll tell you another way he sharpens us in closing. With loving chastisement. Loving chastisement, trials that he sends to prove the genuineness of our faith. He proves it. Faith given is going to be faith tried. I can tell you that. Proven. It shows us his faithfulness. Oh, David said, how good it is for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn. Just sharpening, just keen, alert. Oh, how blessed is our, is the blessing. How much of a blessing we receive as the Lord sharpens our countenance day by day. As we've met together, fellowship together, read together, heard together, prayed together. Oh, that the Lord might sharpen us afresh tonight for his glory and our good.